My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Welcome to the Remnant Reading Room, featuring the book entitled Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster. This book was a major step in my walk of finding the true worship, the way our Father wants us to not only worship, but to live and to exalt His name among the nations. Join us as we continue this walk together to find truth and freedom from idolatrous ways.
Shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink. Washing in my word can rid you of the stink.
Today, we will begin chapter 2, entitled Which Components of the Worship of the Son and the Host of Heaven Have Been Adopted. We will cover pages 8 through 11 of this chapter, inserting the many scriptures referenced there. You may download a copy of the scriptures for this program by clicking on the program on the schedule at Zion Road Radio to see the details. Or you may find a link to the scriptures in Eliyahu Ben David's weekly newsletter. Kingdom Outpost, consider this study for your people. Chapter 2. The following customs or hows given homage to or veneration of the Son and the rest of the host of heaven have been adopted and are even practiced today. Although they are still found in Christianity, they are not found in the scriptures, Old Testament or New Testament. However, a few words or names are found in our translated scriptures, which are incorrect according to the inspired original scriptures, as far back as we can trace them. They have been brought into the translations because the Almighty turned and gave us up to worship the host of heaven, just as He did to Old Testament Israel at various steps. Acts 7:42. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it has been written in the book of the prophets. Did you bring slaughtered beasts and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? He has done the same to us. Read 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12, where the shocking words appear. Elohim will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, those who do not believe the truth. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12 now. Chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you in any way, because the falling away is to come first, and the man of lawlessness is to be revealed, the son of destruction. On the footnote of that particular verse, it reads, some text reads sin instead of lawlessness. And this man might be the same one we read of in the prophecy of Isaiah 14:12, Hillel, meaning the shining one, the sovereign of Babel. 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called Elohim, or that is worship, so that he sits as Elohim in the dwelling place of Elohim, showing himself that he is Elohim. Chapter 2, verse 5. Do you not remember that I told you this while I was still with you? And now you know what restrains for him to be revealed in this time. Chapter 2, verse 7. For the secret of lawlessness is already at work. Only until he who now restrains comes out of the midst. Chapter 2, verse 8. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and bring to naught with the manifestation of his coming. 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. 2, verse 10. And with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. Chapter 2, verse 11. For this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood. Chapter 2, verse 12. In order that all should be judged, who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. The heading next in our book is Sunday. The supreme authority on the true belief is our Savior, Yeshua himself. A quote, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That is Matthew 28:18-20. Let's read those verses again. Matthew 28:18. And Yeshua came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." 19. Therefore, go and make taught ones of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the set-apart Spirit. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to guard all that I have commanded you. And see, I am with you always, until the end of the age. Amen. All modern translations admit this correct rendering, authority. He is the one who, with the authority given to him by his Father, can authoritatively decide on all scriptural matters. We have a long list of scriptures that back up that statement, starting with Matthew 23:8-10. Matthew 23:8. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Messiah, and you are all brothers. Verse 9, and do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your Father, he who is in the heavens. And verse 10, neither be called leaders, for one is your leader, the Messiah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, 1. Elohim, having of old spoken in many portions and many ways to the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all, through whom also he made the ages. Matthew 7:24-29. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does them shall be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. 7:25. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. 7:26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. 7:27. And the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. 7:28. And it came to be, when Yeshua had ended these words, that the people were astonished at his teaching. 7:29. For he was teaching them as one possessing authority, and not as the scribes. John 18:37. Then Pilate said to him, "You are a sovereign then?" Yeshua answered, "You say it because I am a sovereign. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." John 12:48-50. Verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my word has one who judges him. The word that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. 49. Because I spoke not from myself, but the Father who sent me has given me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Verse 50. And I know his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak. Luke 9:35. And a voice came out of the cloud, saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Hear him." John 6:63-68. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life. John 6:68. Then Shimon Kepha answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You possess words of everlasting life." John 8:31-36. 8:31. So Yeshua said to those Yehudim who believed him, "If you stay in my word, you are truly my taught ones." John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 8:33. They answered him, "We are the seed of Abraham, and have been servants to no one at any time. How do you say, 'You shall become free'?" John 8:34. Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone doing sin is a servant of sin." 35. And the servant does not stay in the house forever. A son stays forever. And 36. If then the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. John 3:34. For he whom Elohim has sent speaks the words of Elohim, for Elohim does not give the Spirit by measure. John 14:6. Yeshua said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Revelation 19:13. And having been dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of Yahweh. Revelation 19:16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, Sovereign of Sovereigns and Master of Masters. 1 Timothy 6:3-4. 6:3. If anyone teaches differently and does not agree to the sound words, those of our Master Yeshua Messiah, and to the teaching which is according to reverence, 4, he is puffed up, understanding none at all, but is sick about questionings and verbal battles, from which come envy, strife, slander, wicked suspicions. And finally, 2 John 1:9. Everyone who is transgressing and not staying in the teaching of Messiah does not possess Elohim. The one who stays in the teaching of Messiah possesses both the Father and the Son. No other supreme authority was given to us by the Father. In Colossians and in Ephesians, he is repeatedly called the head of the body, head having the figurative meaning of authority. What is Yeshua's supreme, ultimate, authoritative verdict on the great controversy between Sabbath and Sunday? First of all, he is our supreme example. 1 John 2:6. The one who says he stays in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 21:19 and 22. 21:19. Now this he said, signifying by what death he would esteem Elohim. And having said this, he said to him, Follow me. John 21:22. Yeshua said to him, If I wish him to remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And it was his custom to keep the Sabbath. Luke 4:16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And according to his practice, he went into the congregation on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Just like the custom that Paul followed too. Acts 17:2. And according to his practice, Paul went in unto them, and for 3 Sabbaths was reasoning with them from the Scriptures. Acts 13:14. But passing through Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the congregation on the Sabbath day and sat down. Acts 13:42-44. And when the Yehudim went out of the congregation, the Gentiles begged to have these words spoken to them the next Sabbath. 13:43. And when the meeting of the congregation had broken up, many of the Yehudim and of the worshiping converts followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the favor of Elohim. Acts 13:44. And on the next Sabbath, almost all the city came together to hear the word of Elohim. Acts 16:13. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the city by a river, where there used to be prayer. And having sat down, we were speaking to the women who met there. Acts 18:4 and 18:11. 18:4. And he was reasoning in the congregation every Sabbath, and won over both Yehudim and Greeks. 18:11. And he remained a year and 6 months, teaching the word of Yahweh among them. Secondly, Yeshua commands us to keep his Father's 10 commandments, of which the Sabbath is the 4th commandment, authoritatively and very clearly. Matthew 19:17. And he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, Elohim. But if you wish to enter into life, guard the commands." Luke 10:28. And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you shall live." John 12:50. "And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, as the Father has said to me, so I speak." Indeed, he clearly says that the keeping of his Father's commandments is a condition for inheriting eternal life. Again, in his final revelation to us, he finally repeats this in Revelation 22:14. Quote, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city." I'm going to read that verse to you again in another translation. "Blessed are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city." This text hath been changed later on to such an extent that the necessity of commandment keeping as a prerequisite for entering into the New Jerusalem is here completely hidden. Long before the New Testament books were canonized to form the New Testament as we know it, this correct rendering of Revelation 22:14, which stresses the necessity for keeping the commandments, was quoted by Tertullian in the year 208 and again by Cyprian in the year 251. Yeshua, through John, defines the true worshipers in Revelation 12:17 and Revelation 14:12 as those who also keep the Father's commandments. Let's read those verses. Revelation 12:17. "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to fight with the remnant of her seed, those guarding the commands of Elohim and possessing the witness of Yeshua Messiah." Revelation 14:12. "Here is the endurance of the set-apart ones. Here are those guarding the commands of Elohim and the belief of Yeshua." They were called the remnant in the previous verse. The apostles also reaffirmed this necessity, beginning with 1 Corinthians 7:19. "The circumcision is not, and the uncircumcision is not, but the guarding of the commands of Elohim does matter." 1 Timothy 6:13-14. "In the sight of Elohim, who gives life to all, and of Messiah Yeshua, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you," verse 14, "that you guard the command spotlessly, blamelessly, until the appearing of our Master Yeshua Messiah." And there's a footnote there that says, "command" often means commands, plural. 1 John 5:2-3. "By this we know that we love the children of Elohim, when we love Elohim and guard his commands. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love for Elohim, that we guard his commands, and his commands are not heavy. 2 John 4:6. Verse 4. I rejoice greatly because I found some of your children walking in truth as we received a command from the Father. Verse 5. And now I ask you, Kyria, not as though I wrote a fresh command to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Verse 6. And this is the love, that we walk according to his commands. This is the command, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Romans 3:31. Do we then nullify the Torah through the belief? Let it not be. On the contrary, we establish the Torah. Romans 2:26-29. So if an uncircumcised one watches over the rightness of the Torah, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned as circumcision? Verse 27. And the uncircumcised by nature, who perfects the Torah, shall judge you who, notwithstanding letter and circumcision, are a transgressor of the Torah. Romans 2:28. For he is not a Yehudite who is outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Romans 2:29. But a Yehudite is he who is so inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in spirit, not literally, whose praise is not from men, but from Elohim. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the Torah are righteous in the sight of Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be declared right. Romans 7:22. For I delight in the Torah of Elohim, according to the inward man. Romans 8:7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity toward Elohim, for it does not subject itself or does not obey the Torah of Elohim, neither indeed is it able. James 2:10-12. For whoever shall guard all the Torah and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2:11. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of Torah. James 2:12. So speak, and so do, as those who are to be judged by a Torah of freedom. Hebrews 10:16. This is the covenant that I shall make with them after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them. Hebrews 8:10. Because this is the covenant that I shall make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh, giving my laws in their mind, and I shall write them on their hearts, and I shall be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. According to James 2:10-12, we are to keep all 10 commandments, not just some of them. But why not the 4th commandment, the keeping of the Sabbath too? Why was it changed to Sunday, or simply done away with? If Scripture defines the Sabbath as one of the signs of apartness or separateness, 31:13. And you speak to the children of Israel, saying, My Sabbaths you are to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I, Yahweh, am setting you apart. There's a footnote there I'd like to read. The only sign of Yahweh setting us apart, the only sign of the everlasting covenant, is His Sabbaths, one of them being the seventh day Sabbath. Exodus 31:17. Between me and the children of Israel, it is a sign forever. For in 6 days, Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. Ezekiel 20:12-20. Ezekiel 20:12. I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart. Ezekiel 20:20. And set apart my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, to know that I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Some might argue that the keeping of the Sabbath is not commanded in the New Testament, but it is. If they had only translated Hebrews 4:9 truthfully, there would have been no doubt. The Greek text reads as follows: there remains a keeping of Sabbath to the people of Elohim. Hebrews 4:9. So there remains a Sabbath keeping for the people of Elohim. This is confirmed by Dictionary of New Testament Theology, Volume 3, page 411, Colin Brown. The correct rendering, keeping of Sabbath, is also found in the emphatic dialogue in the Rotherham Version, Henry Alford's translation, and Lamsa Bible. This word, Sabbatismo, means the keeping of Sabbath and nothing else. Barnes notes on the New Testament comments, it properly means a keeping Sabbath. The authoritative Liddell and Scott Greek English Lexicon gives us as the only meaning. Vines, Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words, agrees on this. In fact, almost all Greek dictionaries give this as the only meaning. Why has this word, Sabbatismo, been translated theologically instead of literally and truthfully? The true rendering, keeping the Sabbath, in Hebrews 4:9, clearly emphasizes the present time obligation. In fact, it is the exhortation for its present observance. The keeping of the Sabbath now is a type, a shadow, of the world to come. Colossians 2:17 speaks of the Sabbath which are, quote, not was, a shadow of things to come. The present obligation to keep the Sabbath, which is a shadow or type of the eternal rest to come, is mandatory, for the Sabbath is the only scriptural sign of apartness or separateness. Look at verses Exodus 31:13-17. And you speak to the children of Israel, saying, my Sabbaths you are to guard by all means, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations to know that I, Yahweh, am setting you apart. Exodus 31:17. Between me and the children of Israel it is a sign forever, for in 6 days Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. Ezekiel 20:12-20. Ezekiel 20:12. I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, to know that I am Yahweh who sets them apart, Ezekiel 20:20, and set apart my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, to know that I am Yahweh your Elohim. Without set apartness, no one shall see the Sovereign. Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 12:14 says, pursue peace with all, and pursue apartness, without which no one will see the Master. Thirdly, in his prophecy on the Great Tribulation, Yeshua foresaw his followers continuing to observe the Sabbath, and he is concerned that they will be confronted with the problem of fleeing on the Sabbath. Let's read those verses. Matthew 24:14. And this good news of the reign shall be proclaimed in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And Matthew 15:21. Matthew 24:15. So then, when you see the abomination that lays waste, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, set up in the set-apart place, he who reads, let him understand. Verse 16. Then let those who are in Yehuda flee to the mountains. Verse 17. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take whatever out of his house. 24:18. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garments. And 19. And woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing children in those days. 24:20. And pray that your flight does not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. Verse 21. For then there shall be great distress, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever will be. The great distress could be great pressure or great affliction. He said in Matthew 24:20, and pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. Our Messiah clearly foresaw the permanence of Sabbath keeping by true worshipers. Yeshua did not abolish the Sabbath, which is part of the Ten Commandment law. He explicitly stated he did not come to destroy the law. The correct and literal rendering of Matthew 5:17-19 from the Greek text is, do not think that I came to destroy or abolish or annul the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy or abolish or annul, but to complete them or to fulfill them. Let's read Matthew 5:17-19 again through the scriptures. Matthew 17:5. Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. 5:18. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. Verse 19. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. I think that's worth going over again. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all come to pass or be accomplished. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. By the way, that word is kingdom of heaven, not kingdom in heaven. This word complete or fill, which we find in Matthew 5:17, has different meanings when used figuratively. The New English Bible, the Modern Language Bible, the New Berkeley Version, Farrar Fenton's The Complete Bible in Modern English, the Jerusalem Bible, as well as the Dutch Canius translation, all render this word, I'm going to spell it for you, P-L-E-R-O-S-A-I, in Matthew 5:17, as to complete them. Strong's Concordance's Greek Lexicon, number 4134, number 4137, and number 4138, confirm that this word primarily means to replete or to complete. This word, P-L-E-R-O-O, or P-L-E-R-O-S-A-I, cannot mean annul or abolish, here in verse 17. Because then Yeshua would have contradicted himself in one and the same verse. Secondly, this same word, P-L-E-R-O-S-A-I, is used in Matthew 3:15 and Colossians 1:25, where it would be preposterous to even suggest a meaning of annul or abolish. Let's look at Matthew 3:15. But Yeshua answering said to him, "Permit it now, for thus it is fitting for us to fill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. Colossians 1:25, of which I became a servant according to the administration of Elohim, which was given to me for you to fill the word of Elohim. King James Version uses fulfill in both versions and is the word P-L-E-R-O-O, Strong's word G-4-1-3-7. The word P-L-E-R-O-S-A-I or P-L-E-R-O-O in Matthew 5:17 can best be rendered as complete or fill. The Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, like others, suggest complete, confirm, meeting the full requirements, corroborate, establish, totalize, or even fully preach, which is the best rendering for Colossians 1:25, which we previously read. Others have suggested execute or live up to comply with as the best rendering, especially in Matthew 3:15. We've come to the end of the time that we have for today. That was a lot of scriptures, I know, and I hope that you will download your scriptures so that you can go through those again, because they're quite important scriptures. So, we'll close for today. We will continue here on page 11 through as far as we can get in chapter 2 of Come Out of Her, My People. Take a look at the schedule on Zion Radio Station to see when that session will be available. Be sure to join us, learning more about why our Elohim tells us to come out of her, my people.
My laws are just, my ways are right. They're all you need to fight the fight. Tear down the walls of Babylon and pay her back. She caused your need, war she made you lack.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget to download your copy of the scriptures from today's lesson. If you want to share this information with others, you are welcome to do so. Your questions or comments are welcome. Email me at Sheila, that's S-H-E-L-I-A, at Zion, T-S-I-Y-O-N, .org. Shalom!
Shut them out. Tear down the walls of Babylon and let her sink. Washing in my word can rid you of the stink. You have bought insurance in the fear of losing it all. Come on and lose it all, unless you give it. Oh.